Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today. What's going on, Cyclone fans? Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network and this is the start of the Sukup Summer Series, the 2020 edition of the Sukup Summer Series. But it's going to be a different tone than what we were planning on here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network, but that's okay. We were planning on doing our first, and if you followed the podcast network over the years, you know how the Sukup Summer Series rolls. But we had a very newsy day in college athletics, and Brent Bloom and I both thought it would be rather, ill-served of our time to do anything other than the news of the day, which is the future of college football, the immediate future of college football. So that's what we are going to focus on today. And then we're going to do the more fun Sukup Summer Series topics at a later date.
This is, started this in 2015.
Wow, did you look that up?
Yeah.
So 5 years.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, this is maybe the highlight of what we do for me.
Yeah,
just because it allows to go back and explore some topics that don't get as explored in more depth, but based on the news of the day, I agree with you, would be kind of odd to talk about, you know, the five best quarterbacks since 1996 when we're not sure what college football is even going to look like.
Give a shout out to our friends at Sukup Manufacturing. They're best known for their top-of-the-line grain bins and grain handling equipment. But did you know that Sukup's newest product line is pre-engineered steel buildings? They've got a goal to offer the most customizable and best-fitting steel buildings on the market. So, if anybody out there in our audience is looking for a new machine shed or a steel building for your farm, check out Sukup Steel Buildings. You can learn more at the newly redesigned Sukup.com, and you can find your local Sukup dealer to get started today. All right, so here's the deal, Bloom. Big Ten comes out on Thursday afternoon, says we are going to be playing a conference schedule only. We started hearing real rumblings of this on, I don't know, Tuesday is when I did.
Picking up steam.
Yeah.
The Ivies were a little bit of a first card to be played, although they're separate largely.
Yeah. Overall, what is your reaction to today's news before we dig into what this might mean for Iowa State and college football going forward?
Discouraging, but a logical first step, I would say.
To canceling the season? Am I jumping the gun?
No, I think you're jumping a little bit because, as we'll discuss, I mean, I've seen that a lot on social media and on the airwaves. I think it's a logical conclusion to make because it feels a lot like March did, where, you know, the conference tournaments were no fans and then postponed and then no NCAA tournament. It happened really quickly. This won't happen quickly, in my opinion. I think this is a way to buy some time and control what these conferences can control. And, you know, there's no guarantee, though. You saw what the Big Ten did, and it was interesting because I know the other conferences were aware that this was a possibility, but I also think that the Big Ten maybe caught them off guard a little bit with how quickly they moved here.
So reports are saying that, yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to be left where Bob Bowlesby was tonight when asked about it and him not really have a response. That shows to me that nobody was really prepared that this was going to happen this quickly. And, you know, the Big Ten, you saw it through the missile crisis 10 years ago. They were the first to go. They were the first to act because, you know, they have a little bit more ammo behind them. I'd say them and the SEC, you knew we're going to be on one side of the spectrum here. Why do they do it, right? So the question is, well, what does this mean? Essentially, the Big Ten is saying, we have 14 teams. We can control those 14 teams a lot better than the 115 other programs in college football that could be wild cards. Because I can control my 14. I know what's happening with testing. I know what's happening on those campuses. I don't know what's happening on the campus of Louisiana Monroe, and they're coming to visit me. But I can lock down my 14, or I can try to put those 14 in a bubble, and then if something were to happen, and it will, there will be COVID outbreaks. We know this thing's not going anywhere. I have those open dates then to be flexible. And because college football does not have an overarching authority, the conferences do, they then have the authority to move the chess pieces around if it fits them.
Saw coming out of Baylor today, I believe it was their athletic director, quote, actually floated that possibility out there with the Big 12, too. So, obviously, there's only 10 teams, but you could play a team a couple of times during the season. He floated that out there. It does feel to me, I think the Power 5 schools, despite what you just said, are going to try and work together. I think it just makes sense. But this is going to kind of tie into the academia world a little bit, where the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are very similar as far as how they're structured. You know, and then I would say the ACC. I think the Big 12 and the SEC politically and academically have more in common. I don't know.
That's
maybe
fair.
Maybe there's some synergy here.
Maybe. I mean, I think if you're looking at natural partners here, I think the Pac-12's on their own. Okay. I mean, I don't see a natural alignment for anybody with them right now. I think the ACC, if you read the tea leaves, will probably include Notre Dame in whatever they look like.
Yeah, it looks like
which
it.
Which makes sense, but probably nobody else. And again, they have how many schools? 14.
Yes.
I think the Big 12's kind of caught in a weird spot with only 10 schools. If they want to play a full season, they're limited a little bit. But there's still that SEC partner out there, and you've already seen them come together on a couple of different things.
Yeah.
Bowl game plus that Big 12 SEC challenge. Perhaps those two can get together and fill in some gaps if needed.
Another thing to throw out there that I think is very logical, especially when you look at former Iowa State Associate Athletic Director David Harris being at Northern Iowa. How do you replace the Cy-Hawk game? That seems pretty natural to me. To let Northern Iowa drive over here for that game. I'm talking totally out of... I don't know. I've not heard that from anybody in the know.
Well,
I mean, that's being pretty optimistic, Brent. I'm not sure that we're even going to get to that point.
Well, then you have to question, because you're already playing South Dakota, which is a FCS school.
They can't.
Just two wins even.
I don't think it matters.
I don't either, but I'm just saying that
I get it. Yeah.
That would be a question mark.
That would be a total joke if the. You can't come to the Heart of Dallas Bowl because you. I mean, I get what you're saying. I've thought about that too. You know what I mean? But like, I don't think it matters this year.
It's just, I think this is where these conferences are at is they're trying to tighten their control as much as they can. And so this was the first salvo, and now these other conferences are going to have to react, and they're going to have to react soon, or else the questions are just going to get louder and louder. And it's not a good day. I mean,
it's a bad day. First day, Brent, that I don't feel like we're going to have a season.
And I'm not there yet, but I can see how you get that this feels like the first big domino to fall throughout this thing, and it's been. You know, we've been pretty optimistic on this for the last 2 months, really, and this week has not gone well on several fronts.
I feel like the last 2 weeks have really since I got COVID.
Yeah, let's blame Williams.
It's all gone straight to hell.
It's just tough because there's so many pieces here that are going to be impacted by this, and but I'm. You know, maybe they can piece this thing together and make it work. And truthfully, these power conferences, if they can keep it, you know, within their 10 to 14 schools, they would have more money to do the proactive testing and some of the other things and maybe bubble themselves off better than if you had these non-conference schools. But it's going to be a wild 4 weeks.
I sound like a broken record. I apologize if you listen to our Sunday night show and if you listen to my radio show, you've heard me say this, but it does not matter we're all asking the wrong questions. My question is, what are the regulations going to be?
Yeah.
If we're going by the CDC deal, like what affected Dowling Catholic this week.
You can't do that almost.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible to throw all these college kids on a campus. And like, so that would be like, oh, the manager's girlfriend had a positive test, so the whole team has to quarantine. Now, one thing that was told to me by a source today for some insight, what we're going to do around Iowa State, at least, is they're going to do, like, the first string will practice against the third string, and the second string will practice against, so they're separating them out, so that way, like, all your wide receivers aren't wiped out if there's one positive test or whatever. But Brent, it comes down to, though, if it is this current CDC guidelines for this, we're not going to have a season.
Right.
And I'm not criticizing the CDC. I'm just looking at, like, because, you know, I have to say that because everybody makes things political these days. But I don't know how it's possible.
No, what Iowa high school baseball and softball has shown us is if in that structure, it won't work. Because you can't, if you're, like you said, if you have one person was in contact, then you have to shut everything down for 2 weeks. That doesn't work for the college football schedule. What I think would be more likely is what the Major League Baseball will have in place, the NBA will have in place, some of these professional sports that can test every day, is you have to have two negative tests in back-to-back days to come back. And they don't remove everybody who's been in contact.
Mm-hmm.
They only remove those people who have tested positive. So
if that's the case, we got a shot.
Yeah, and so here's why I'm optimistic a little bit. I'm not optimistic the way the testing is going in this country.
Correct.
Because you're seeing some backlogs now as cases have risen. And you're getting back to the delays where I took a test because of you. And it was 18 hours. It was fine.
Yeah.
Our friends at the Iowa Clinic, kudos to them.
They did a really good
really
job
well.
For us, too.
Wife and I both got tested. Went really well, smooth. But as these cases have risen, I've heard that there's a lot more backups
it
to
is.
Get tested.
Just
and then
the difference in a week for my wife to get her second test compared to the first one you call, boom, get right in. The second one, they're like, oh, it'll be 5 days.
Yep.
And it was just like, holy crap.
And you saw it recently with Major League Baseball over the July 4th weekend is they had like a 3-4 day backup because of a new, not even the test service, but of the postal carrier. Because FedEx didn't operate on the holiday. And so they got backed up. And so these players had to sit.
Yeah.
And so that's a major issue because if you don't know if you're positive or not,
well,
you have to be precautious and stay away.
That's
a problem.
That happened to me. I started showing symptoms for the first time, like super late, like 11 o'clock on like a Friday night. And I couldn't get tested until Monday at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, didn't get the results for 24 hours. And that's like 4.5 days that had passed that. Now, luckily, I locked myself in my basement because I had a pretty damn good feeling. But, you know, not everybody has symptoms.
Yep.
Like that.
And that's why, this is why I'm optimistic. So that's one side of the coin, which I agree. If these players, these student athletes, and really people on campus are getting tested that way, it's not going to work. Because you'd have too much of a backup mm-hmm. before a game day to understand who's going to be available and who's not. However, these schools with resources, not just for college athletes or student athletes, by the way, I think colleges in general, a lot of them will have these student health centers on campus that may have the capability to move these forward a lot quicker. And at Iowa State, I don't know if it's public knowledge yet, but it will be. I've mentioned, I think, on the podcast with Jared when you were out, Chris, is Iowa State's going to use the Vet Diagnostic Lab, which is a state-of-the-art lab used for animal testing.
Mm.
But they're going to process it for COVID testing once students get back on campus, student athletes included. The thought being they can turn around that in 4 hours.
Wow.
And so Iowa State's at a real good advantage here. If we get to the testing part where you know, hey, we'll test this person A, we'll know in 4 hours if they're positive or negative. That really helps the turnaround to contact trace and then eliminate some people. Now, will those other schools have that advantage? Probably not to that extent. And so you're kind of at the mercy of your testing system, but at least for Iowa State, and I think some of these larger campuses will have a more robust testing system in place because they, unlike perhaps our federal government, have been planning for this for several months. because they know they're going to have all these thousands of students on campus. They have to figure out a way to do this and do this quickly, not just for student athletes, by the way. Iowa State's going to use the VET diagnostic lab for all incoming students that are going into the dorms because they want to process them and try and, you know, cut this virus off as soon as it gets on campus.
This is the Sukup Summer Series, Episode 1. Not the jovial conversation we normally have, but those are coming. We were going to do the top transfer, or rank the transfers from the 2010.
This is why that came up. So guess what happened 10 years ago this weekend?
Royce White committed.
Correct. How about that?
I remember that day very well.
It was that it's actually, we'll our next podcast, hopefully we'll do that. Not another, The World is Ending podcast, but there were 29 transfers to Iowa State basketball in the last decade that just concluded. 29 Jeez. Of them.
Wow.
And you'd be amazed. I was just putting together my top 10 before we did the audible here. I had an NBA player outside my top 10.
Holy mackerel.
So, I mean, a loaded list that was kind of fun to go through. So
all right.
We'll get there. But for the testing part, Chris, I think there's these student athletes, if they can be more like the professionals, which is a weird thing to say, but have that ability to be tested every day or every other day, I think we have a shot here.
The point was raised to me, if we're just talking about, and we're not talking about like the health of fans and stuff, okay?
Correct.
We're just talking about the health of the student athletes. They're already on, this was framed to me by somebody today. They're already on campus. Yep. They're actually safer if they're competing because they have a reason to not go out to the bars and to, to be gallivanting around campus and stuff like that.
You can't say that.
I know,
and I agree. I said that during our podcast on Sunday. I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. The problem is it's who's responsible for, if something happens and these schools anymore just can't accept that risk or that liability.
Okay. So
I agree though.
I've gotten these two questions more today than anything. And we kind of tackled this on Sunday. The one question is, how can these athletic departments that make tens of millions of dollars a year not have any like cash saved up?
Yeah.
I get that one a lot. And then I get, okay, what is worst case scenario? Like, what does it mean if college, what does the ice age mean? Let's tackle the ice age one first.
Okay.
Because I think it's a juicier topic, and I think that it's more relevant right now. Brent, the only thing that I can think of, here's the deal. I don't see the state bailing these athletic departments out because the state's going to be in a whale of an issue of its own.
Really bad spot.
The state's not going to have 40 million or whatever the deficit is.
Just think of sales tax.
Yeah.
Okay. That alone. I mean, how much that would have dropped off in those 2.5 months when people were mostly inside. I mean, the state is going
unemployment.
To, yeah, unemployment. Income tax. I mean, the state is going to be
revenues down and expenses are up.
Plus the expense of handling a public health crisis. Yeah, okay. State is going to be in no position to help out athletics.
So my point is, like, where does the money come from? And like the only thing I can think of, and I have asked around about this a little bit today. And, I mean, other than just shutting the athletic department down, which to me, like, there are doomsdayers out there who will say that could happen. I don't buy it. Like, as a businessman, these properties are still valuable.
Correct.
Like, they're still, even a year from now, let's say we don't have football. And let's say they kick off in September of 2021. A lot of people will be like, well, baseball, they had their strike and it took them years to get. This is not the same thing. I actually think that there'll be people clamoring to get back to Jack Trice Stadium. So I don't believe that.
It's like the death and gone forever.
No. But it does come back to what we discussed on Sunday, and that is who's going to give these athletic departments a $50 million loan? Is it, is it banks? Is it the federal government? Is it, I don't know. Is it like would the state do that and like to make some interest back from the, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but that's, they have to get a mega loan of some giant sum to be able to pay their employees.
Yeah. I mean, so it's either you get a loan or you're going to have to start eliminating sports.
Which Iowa State, this is important to point out, you have to have 16 sports to be Division I. Iowa State only has 18. So there's not a lot of room to cut there.
Yep. So you eliminate sports, and then part and parcel of that is you eliminate jobs.
But, I mean, correct. It's going to be tough to tally up enough jobs, though, to make up for that deficit.
You know, right.
These people in the athletic department, other than a select few, are not rich.
Right. Well, and I think that's important to note, because we hear about the head coaches for the major sports and their salaries, but you would be surprised if you go through your rank and file staff members that aren't coaches, mm-hmm. but even some of the coaches in the Olympic sports, they're not,
no.
you know, they're not making mega bucks here. And what I've heard a little bit, and you saw this with Stanford, because Stanford cut, whatever, 11 sports.
11, yeah.
And then some smart, really smart people who I respect say, well, Stanford has a $27 billion endowment. But endowments aren't just general dollars that can be used for a rainy day. Endowments are tied up with specific areas on campus.
And there's actual legal ramifications, like
yep.
a certain percentage that you can only...
Yeah,
Pat Forty wrote a really good piece about that.
Yep, endowments are really tricky, and Iowa State's endowment is really close to, although I don't think it quite got over there, is about $1 billion, which has increased about 70% in the last 3 years.
Good job, boy.
Yeah, it's not all me.
It's all you.
But they can't just, point being, you can't just take from that fund and say, oh, we're going to support our athletics for a little bit to try and make ends meet. Now, specific donors could potentially say, hey, we don't want Iowa State, you know, we don't want you to have to lay people off.
We don't want the golf program to blow up.
We will, you know, try and support it with cash dollars now. But, I mean, that's one thing. But you can't just take from the reserve of the endowment and pay these off.
Could you, I don't think this is feasible. But, like...
We hope we don't have to get there, though, by the way.
No, I know.
But there's going to be belt tightening regardless.
But, like, I'm saying, like, just for, because these are what these people are asking me. Like, if football is canceled, what does the Ice Age mean that Jamie Pollard references?
Yeah.
Can, how, like, would the state, like, regions allow you to run at the deficit for, hey, we're going to do this for 5 years to get caught?
I don't know.
I don't, yeah. like, and can you? Like, because... This is like the, you know, the Paycheck Protection Act thing, right? Well, yeah, it's a great thought, but like if the money's not there to go into your account, then it doesn't work. Like, how do you pay these people? And this is what I was told. One more thing, that this is a complication with spring football. Everybody's like, oh, yeah. We'll play the game in the spring. Well, how are you going to pay your people?
When those checks aren't coming in the short term.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Things you never thought you'd have to think about. Because that's been there for the last 130 years. There's
this
always a football
just
season.
Seems like a nightmare that we're not waking up from.
Yeah, and again, it's like I reference, it's an invisible bomb because it's there, but you don't know what it really means and when it's going to go. And so you're just trying to hold it off and hold it off and hold it off, thinking that it might go away. But the other, this is what I think is the most bothersome, is you don't know when the end is, but you also don't know. Even if you shut everything down and you cut off your own legs, you don't know if that will really help. I mean, that I think that's what's the most frustrating for me and everything is, like you said earlier, you can eliminate college sports, okay, and maybe it'll prevent some spread for these student athletes and coaches. But if it's still around, then it's still around, and I get you can't take the risk and you can't have that liability on you for playing a game in a sport. But, I mean, you could be, you know, really destructive to these organizations when, you know, I don't know if it's really ultimately going to help in the long run.
You know, like, and then the collateral of all the businesses and hotels and Ames,
yeah,
like,
for
I
sure.
mean, even our business, like,
yep.
we've already had to go to extreme measures. By the way, if you guys want to support us, you can become a patron or a premium subscriber. But, like, my point being, like, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. And I know, like, for us, like, if football season gets canceled,
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that will go away, and some won't come back. The other thing I've heard is that have propped up some athletic departments in the past, not to the tune of $50 million, whatever it would be, is student fees.
The only reason I threw that out there is because I looked at the numbers from the USA Today database.
Yep. So, I mean, the Big 12 payout is about $45 million. Yeah. So if you throw that in...
Plus tickets,
you're looking pretty close to... $55-60 million. When your total budget's 90-95, I mean, that's
the other question I've been getting a lot, and I don't want to be out over my skis too much here, but people are like, well, why don't you, like, you're making all this money, why do they spend it all every year? Why aren't you saving some? Well, there's two answers to that. One, there's not many businesses that act that way. I mean, there's not a lot of Berkshire Hathaways out there that are sitting on billions of dollars of cash. But two, especially in a competitive world where you're trying to grow, hire new staff. Like, you know, they hired a new nutrition for the football team this year. They went out and invested in a new strength coach. You know, you're trying to get better. Two, it's that pesky tax exempt deal.
Yeah.
Where you can't, it's, you guys can go and look. I don't want to get into amateurism, any of that stuff. But it's part of the system, and you can't show too much of a gain. There's a reason why when you look at that USA Today database every year, that these athletic departments spend exactly what they make or right around there, because you don't want to show. It's the same thing as if you do your taxes, and if you're a 1099 employee and anything, you try and have something as a loss against it. It's the exact same mindset. So, like, think of it that way, because a lot of people don't understand, Brent. Like, well, how can you make $50 million from the Big 12 and then, like, have one thing go wrong and it's like a time bomb? Well, that's why. Because you don't have...
And then in Iowa State's been really proactive and efficient in doing it in projects in the last 10 years for Jamie. Yeah. And those don't come for free. So I think it's been a really big plus for Iowa State. I mean, the Nsukup end zone, end zone club. But then, you know, the south end zones, I think it's $25, $30 million. You've got the Student Performance Center going up right now, which is going to be awesome. But that was $85 million. Like, there are costs in addition to just salaries. So you can't just say, well, just cut the coach's salaries, because there's more to that. And, you know, so what props some of these athletic departments up are student fees and then just general university funding. Well, those are very unlikely with the current climate, too, because Iowa State as a whole and all these higher education institutions are going to get squeezed by this pandemic as well. So you can't just go to the mothership and say, hey, we need $50 million here, because campus as a whole is going to be in a tough spot.
Okay. So there you go. There's the answer to that question. Without being too negative here, you know, there's part of me, man, that's just sad for everybody. Because, and again, like, I hate having to clarify this, but I got an angry email from a listener on Sunday thinking that we're, you know, being sensationalizing the virus and all. No, we're not. Like, I don't really care what your guys' political views are or what you think of this. Like, the fact of the matter is that the virus it's real. And it's beyond the control of Matt Campbell or Jamie Pollard as to how, and we saw that happen today. This is not my and Brent's view. Like, we're not out here screaming herd immunity, and we're not out here screaming we're all going to die. We're just trying to analyze the world as it is and put things in perspective for Iowa State fans.
And I hope we've done a pretty fair job of that.
Yeah, I think this guy was pretty far in the one direction. I say that only in the sense, Brent, that we just have to be so careful, because there's people who are listening to this who have lost a loved one too, you know, to this. And I don't know, like, I say that with full respect for that, but I'm sad for Iowa State fans, because I truly in my heart think that I thought that this was going to be the best football season of my lifetime. as an Iowa Stater. And it just, like, I don't even want to make light of it. Like, oh, it's the most Iowa State thing ever. Like, I've said that.
Yep.
This sucks because not only that, but I think that, I mean, like, women's basketball has a special place in our heart. I thought that that was maybe a Sweet 16 team this year. Maybe it still will be. I hope so. But
well, and then you start looking down the road. It's like, when is this over?
And wrestling's coming around, and I think Prohm did a pretty good job on the recruiting trail. And, like, this sucks. Like, especially for the football thing. Like, I just, you know, I think Campbell is going to get off the schneid against Ferentz this year. Like, yep. I mean, who cares? Like, that's pretty irrelevant this point. But, like, it's sad for Iowa State fans. I'm sad for everybody.
Yeah, that's why today, I know, I mean, you felt that it might be coming, that something, some sort of this would happen, but it was very just, you know, like a gut punch, like, man, so this is still here, and this is still going to impact us for the foreseeable future, and it's brutal. It's brutal.
Let me give you a couple stats here. Brett McMurphy from the stadium, he pulled... how many athletics directors did he talk to? Like 105 or something like that.
The guy is sourced in.
He is, actually. I think he's probably the premier. Dennis Dodd's kind of rubbed me the wrong way during the pandemic. He's been a negative Nancy.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it turns out he's probably going to be right on everything. But he's just kind of like, he seemed to me like one of those media members. It's like, what, do you not want this to happen, dude?
Yeah.
He's that guy. Yeah, he's that guy. He stood out to me. And I really like his work, too.
I'll leave it at that. Yeah. There's a couple others.
Okay. This is 115 of 130 FBS athletic directors.
Wow. Good job, Brett.
Brett McMurphy got a hold of, okay. The season, here are all the different scenarios. The season starts as scheduled. 27% of athletic directors believe it'll start as scheduled.
Well, I mean, just the non-conference games in the Big Ten alone, it's not going to start.
Only 22% of Power 5 athletic directors believe that. The optimistic 31% of non-Power 5 athletic directors.
How bad do they have to feel now?
What about the Bowling Green guy? Ugh. They're out like $1.7 million or $1.2 million from the two Big Ten games they lose. I bet Pollard's phone's going off the hook tonight, by the way, from some of these MAC schools.
Oh, for sure.
Wanting
There'll
to
be no shortage of...
No. They'll replace the Iowa game pretty easily.
Really easily.
Yeah. My guess is he would call David Harris and give him the opportunity because of their history together. Yep. Conference only games with a delayed fall start. This is telling to me 45% of Power 5 athletic directors believe that's what will happen. Hmm. That is the highest number of this entire poll. And then the negative or the optimistic non-Power 5 ADs, 9% of them are on board with that. Okay, a delayed fall start, but a full 12-game schedule. This is very telling to me. That a full game, 12-game schedule with a delayed fall start, only 8% of Power 5 athletic directors believe that will happen.
So let's extrapolate this. So let's say the Big Ten has 10 games. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough for a playoff? Is that enough for bowl eligibility? I mean, you're going to have some sort of agreement in place that you need this number of games to be played. And I understand the Big Ten, you know, wants to keep it in-house, but then are they ineligible then for, you know, the college football playoff? I mean, where does this stop? Because let's say the Big 12 and the SEC says, okay, Big Ten, you made your choice. That's fine. Good for you. We're going to play our full 12 games. We'll fill it in. But because we're playing 12, you're playing 10, you're de facto then eliminated yourself from the college football playoff. Sorry. Same with you, Pac-12. You're not going to play. You're only going to play conference games. So it looks like the only schools remaining are those that play a full 12-game schedule.
Iowa State, like, Alabama.
If you want to look at it from a competitive advantage, there is something to that. And that's why I think it would behoove the Big 12 and the SEC to just slow down. Like, you don't have to be reactionary
just go
now.
Straight right wing, well, too, and just be like, hey. No, but for real. Like, their fan bases, like, in these – well, think about the Big 12 and think about the SEC. The fan bases would love it.
But what's the difference between 10 and 12 games, really? I mean, how much more are you protecting? Like, you can be that, you know, super conservative from the Big 10 standpoint. We're not going to put our student-athletes in harm's way. It's like, well – we'll play an additional two games. We'll be eligible for the playoff, and then we'll get that money that will really help our athletic departments. Like, I don't – so that creates so many more questions that I don't know if there's an authority to answer, and it would be a huge old mess. If somebody texted me now today, they're like, well, this will really put a big question mark into the Big 10 versus Big 12 debate if there's no non-conference games. Like, well, that's true, but I still think if the Big 12 wants to play 12, there could be an advantage there.
This is hilarious to me when we start just breaking these down, like the difference between the non-Power 5 ADs and the Power 5 ADs. It tells you the disconnect in there's just, you know, that Bowling Green AD was pissed. And he put out that whole thing about, we're not working together. No, you're not. This is an autonomy versus the haves and the have-nots are being separated greatly now, as if they weren't already. So the 12-game schedule starting in the spring, okay? 33% of non-Power 5 athletic directors believe this will happen. Only 3% of Power 5 ADs
would do the spring thing.
Yeah.
What's your thought? I mean, financially, we talked about it, but
so
I just don't see
the weather hurts. Like,
yeah.
I actually asked that question to somebody today, and I said, when would
Jack Trice be ready for?
And they said probably April 1st is the earliest, is what I was
told. So what you would fight then is then you're having to have the 2021 season potentially
Iowa State would play like its first six games in Texas, basically.
Yeah. And then,
or whatever.
For those NFL prospects, good luck seeing them.
Matt Campbell would be like, yeah, we'll play all of our games on the road. He just wants to play.
That's like, you feel bad for that guy. I mean, I heard his press conference and
he just wants to go.
He just wants to compete. And it's just helpless.
Should we end this on some good news?
I am an optimist.
No college football in 2020-2021 season. Only of all the 115 athletic directors who responded, only 7% believe that will be the case. 11% from Power 5, only 5% from that optimistic non-Power 5 group.
And you're...
I don't think we're going to have a season at this point. I hope I'm wrong.
I think they have to try. I think they have to try. If they only play 7-8 games, they only play 7-8 games. But you have to try. I think if it's conference only, okay. At least you get something there. At least you get some games to be seen. At least you get some payouts from television, which will help immensely, as we talked about. And I think you can control enough. I still do. I mean, we've got 7 weeks, 8 weeks to figure out the testing. Like I talked about, these schools will have some robust testing in place that should be able to help in this. So we'll see. I still think there's a little bit of time, not a lot of time, but I think there's enough people that are going to fight for this and not just throw in the towel like was happening in March. Because in March, Chris, it was a different environment where we knew nothing about this. We have a pretty good idea, and there are leagues successfully doing this. In a perfect world, we were more like Europe, where they got it pretty much contained now. We're not.
Well, best that.
I mean, it's just, but I do think there is a bit of a model if you can find a way to control the testing aspect, isolate. I still think it could happen, and then you build in enough of a buffer in the schedule that if there is a couple outbreaks here and there, that you have a bye weeks in place. So, I still think there is some sort of a season, but today generally was a downer, but maybe the sun will come up tomorrow.
I am on vacation next week. I am taking my podcast equipment and my computer.
It's going to be busy.
Yeah. So originally we booked this week because it was like, okay, I'm going to go the week before Dallas and then just fly down to Dallas for the Big 12 media days. Well, obviously, we're going to have, so it's on the schedule to have a virtual media day for the Big 12 on the 20th and 21st of July. So we're still planning on covering that as usual. And I hope that we're still having a football season. I think we will. I do think, Brent, as pessimistic as I might be now, I think that this is a last-minute deal if they'd end up canceling anything.
Yes.
They're not going to do it. I'm talking like August 15th. Like, yes. This is not a – they're going to call the season next week or anything. I think the worst case is they go conference only next week.
Yes. Yeah, that will be – and I still don't think they're going to go that far.
I think they had the opportunity to do that today if they wanted to.
Yep. And the silence from a couple conferences was interesting to me.
Maybe I'm reading too much.
No, I don't think you are. I think it makes a lot of sense for various reasons.
Go back to our conversations in late March.
Yes.
We said the same thing about the Big 12 and the SEC. Politics are greatly involved here. And these are two leagues that are in conservative strongholds. And they just are, with conservative governors, with... I think that there's a possibility here.
Can I mention one more thing on that?
Yes.
The move today by the Big Ten was not because one of their states said, you can't play football. Okay? Let's point that out. Mm-hmm. This was a Big Ten proactive move for serving their best interest, whatever they think their best interest is. Because of that, you also saw a couple of things. Bring it back to politics a little bit. You saw a statement from the governor of Iowa who was disappointed there would be no Iowa-Iowa State football game this year. You also saw the Senator Grassley... with a comment, also disappointed. Whatever you think of their opinions.
How old is Grassley?
80.
Yeah, we need to just tell all politicians.
I don't want
to
bring that
over
up.
The age of like 75 to stop tweeting.
But
not the content. It's more like the they don't know when to like capitalize. You know what I mean?
The grammar.
That's what I'm talking. Like,
okay,
whatever.
I get it.
Yeah, like.
But this was not.
It's like, quit yelling at me.
This was not a governor of a state saying you can't play.
No, he was so pissed. Northern Iowa grad.
Right. So it's but.
He would love us
to support
Senator Grassley. I mean, we're sitting here. We're saying like, well, no, we'll play Northern Iowa. Bring him to Ames.
But to support your point, this was a Big Ten decision. This was not a college football decision. This was not a government decision. So it's, again, these schools can be proactive and serve, you know, the health and safety and all that stuff. But if they don't do that, there's nobody telling them you can't play. So just keep that in mind here. Like, this is not somebody saying you can't play at all. It could come from the top down, and that would be the presence of these institutions. Well, but
the president of the United States is not going to do
correct.
That. And the governor of Iowa is not going
correct.
To do that.
Correct. So I'm just, I mean, again, whether you think one way or another on this.
I don't care what you think politically. Like, we're just analyzing the situation in front of
correct.
Us.
Correct. So this was a Big Ten thing. It was not a government or oversight thing.
And the Big Ten didn't really say when they would start their season.
They didn't. And they have 14 teams, so they could play a full 12-game schedule too, just themselves. So they still have that flexibility, and they said they would come out with some more schedule stuff next week. So we'll see what they do. If you know, I heard 10 games.
Who do you want a piece of? Like, if the Clones play a couple of Big 12 teams twice, who do you want a piece of? Herman? I kind of want Baylor.
I want Baylor again.
I'd like Baylor twice just to beat the crap out of those guys. What about K-State?
I'd like to beat
them twice, but they'd probably beat us twice.
I mean, they're just...
Because they're just
grimy. That was not a fun game down there.
I watched that game.
And you were in the Bahamas.
The Dallas-Fort Worth airport with Eric Heft. We went to some seafood shack and had some beers.
Which, speaking of Heft, he is hopefully going to be a part of the summer series.
Yeah, yeah.
Stories with Eric Heft.
That'll be great. Maybe we can just do one with Walters, too. How about that? I think that would be great.
I also was doing some research on this. The almost Cyclones. You'd be amazed at the Cyclones that I would say was in their final two or three, and they went somewhere else. And it's long, long list.
I have a list of guys somewhere that I used to call on when they were recruits. Like, basically the McDermott era, Like TJ was in on a lot of
a lot of guys.
One of who's the guy played for the Cavs? He dated the Kardashian.
Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson, yeah. He visited.
He did. I mean, there's a lot. It's a pretty impressive
Tristan
list.
Tristan Thompson was my boy. We used to like text and stuff.
Now, is he still with a Kardashian?
I don't know.
Check my people.
I don't know. But thanks to Sukup Manufacturing.
They're the best. They really are.
They really are. We appreciate their partnership with us. I mean this, and I don't want to make this about us because it's not. Like, we couldn't be doing what we're doing without our loyal subscribers, our premium members, our Patreon members. I hope you guys are enjoying what you're getting out of it. A little bit of a tease. I'm going to be posting a special edition premium notebook tonight. It's about 10 o'clock right now. So it'll be about midnight. It'll show up for you guys. But just, I have been, believe it or not, I don't just sit around and watch NASCAR all day. I've been on the phone all day trying to get a decent read on what this means. Because there's a lot of fans out there, Brent. Like,
this is their livelihood.
Six Saturdays, man. Yeah. Like, that's what they...
I had my mother-in-law. It's like, so how many home games are we going to have? I'm like, Deb, figure it out.
Deb, I don't even know if you're going to be able to tailgate.
Right.
Would Deb even want to go to the game if she can't tailgate?
Probably not.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh. Have God, fun somewhere else.
God bless her.
Yeah, it's a good time.
No, I'm going to the Lake of the Ozarks.
Enjoy, my friend.
I'm not going to be able to. There's just certain things, man. Like, this stuff runs through my blood. And, like, this to me feels like the Big 12 missile crisis. Yeah. There's no way I would have been able to go and relax on a lake during the Big 12 missile crisis. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to try, but I'm just so keyed up. I'm still really weak from the COVID deal. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to go down there and it'll be really good for my daughters and I'm going to try and unplug and do all that stuff and my wife, of course. But I just, man, I'm really concerned. Just, we have so many friends. I'm like you work at Iowa State. You know, I have just friends who I'm just, you know, concerned for.
Yeah. I mean,
and all the student athletes we get to work with. And
there's so many industries that have been impacted by this. College sports have held it off.
Think
for
about
a
if you're
bit.
The guy who owns Welch Avenue Station or Patty's or like just anything in Ames.
Yep. This for a reason hits really close to home.
If you manage, if you're the Iowa State or hotel or the Memorial Union or anything, like we'll wait and see on our government and like more payout things for people, but I'm really just sad right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem is, you knew the Big 12 missile crisis would have an endpoint.
Yeah.
And to this point for the pandemic, we don't know. We hope the vaccine works and we hope it's effective, but you know,
we have one.
There's several in development that we hope that are effective, but
you're breaking news.
I mean, there's a lot out there. No, and there's some promising candidates, and I'm an optimist, like I said. But I just, I think that's what's weighing on me, Chris. Especially the last 2 weeks have been really hard, and it had to be even more hard for you because you've actually dealt with a thing,
dude.
It's been rough.
I don't want to. I was talking to a friend earlier today about this. I don't want to make it about me and talk about it, but I also feel like I have a little bit of a responsibility. Like this deal's like legit. Yeah. If it affects you, I mean, I'm 3.5 weeks, whatever. And I walked to my mailbox yesterday and about died. Like I just completely out of breath to the point where, now I'm at the point now where I can sit here with you and talk and it's fine. But that first night we did the podcast afterwards, like I couldn't say more than like three sentences without needing to die. Just walking up the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, so this is a deal where, and I didn't even have to go on like a ventilator or anything. Like I had it pretty easy compared to most folks. This is a real deal. Like is it worth shutting down our con? I don't know. I don't have the answers to all that, I don't know. It's a scary deal. Like I don't know. I feel really kind of just lucky that I
yeah
you know, I didn't think I was ever going to die or anything like that. But it's a real thing. We don't know the long-term effects on it. Like,
there's just so many unknowns.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes these decisions really hard for administrators is because, you know, you can look at the data and go, well, you know, the
death rate
survival rate for a young person is really low. But, you know, what is that magic number that it's, you know?
I think the death rate, too, like that whole conversation that I don't hear enough people point out, I think the mortality rates dropped because people are smarter. Like, if they have pre-existing conditions, if you're like a severe diabetic, you're probably not hanging out at Walmart or going to a bar, right? So that's good that our society's gotten smarter.
Yeah. No,
right?
No, and you'll see it.
And we'll see that at Jack Trice this fall. Like, those people shouldn't be going to the games.
Yes. And this isn't catching anybody off guard now. Like, they don't know about it. And so you're not.
Oh, yeah. Like, remember in March, like, nobody wore a mask.
Yep.
Couldn't even get them if you wanted to.
Yep.
Like, I remember my wife, we shipped a bunch of masks because they had some extra to Sage's girlfriend in Minneapolis who was working in the hospital, and she was reusing the same one over and over and over again. Like, we don't have that problem now.
Yep.
So that's good.
Yeah. You've gotten better at some of the treatment areas from what I understand, but that's the issue though, Chris, is I don't know what the end is, and there's no end date here. And so I think that promotes both sides of the coin. It's like, well, if we don't know when this is going to end, then what's the point in, you know, not living?
I'll tell you when the end date is, the Sugar Bowl. What's end on that?
Hey man, if Iowa State goes to the Sugar Bowl during a pandemic, they still went to the Sugar Bowl.
We can still print the T-shirt.
It's still on the T-shirt.
I can't take
that T-shirt away.
I'm going to lose my mind one of these nights about this being the most Iowa State thing ever, but I can't do it right now because I don't want to be unprofessional. But trust me, I'll be unprofessional at some point. All right. For our listeners too, no podcast Sunday night, as I'm going to be down at the Lake of the Ozarks. However, Brent and I have already discussed if all hell breaks loose next week, which I fully anticipate it will, we're going to dial up the Zoom and we will do something for you guys here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. How can you help? You can rate and review our podcast. That helps us. You can become a Patreon member starting at just $5. And then if you go to $10 a month, you get a koozie in the mail. $20 a month is you get all sorts of goodies like the Zoom call every month. $10 and $20 a month, you get the weekly insider newsletter, which I think people have really enjoyed. We've got all that and more. Thank you very much, Brent. Appreciate you as always.
Hey, enjoy beautiful Ozarks.
I will. Thanks to our friends at Sukup Manufacturing. We'll do the top transfer. We'll rank our transfers from the 2010 era, 2010 to 2020 of Iowa State basketball on episode 2 of the Sukup Summer Series here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.